Coming up on The Source, the latest on San Antonio City Council redistricting and the race for Bexar County Sheriff, we have the candidates in the studio. Incumbent Amadeo Ortiz answers accusations of mismanagement at the jail.
There are prisoners walking out the door. There are detention officers walking out the door from retirements, from resignations, and he can't train them fast enough to replace people that need to be there.
Challenger Susan Parmelo says it doesn't matter that she's never been a law officer.
You have to have law enforcement experience. It's true, it's a big agency, but that's the more reason. In a big agency, you need a law enforcement professional to run that organization. She'll go to school and then she'll have a certificate, but she still doesn't have any experience.
The candidates for sheriff, that's coming up on The Source. But first, the news. This is The Source, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's new city council district boundaries are expected to be officially put into place this week. As Texas Public Radio's Ryan Lloyd reports, redistricting for San Antonio took on a new challenge this time.
Historically, San Antonio's Anglo population has been concentrated in the north, blacks in the east, and Hispanics to the south. That's according to redistricting attorney David Mendez. He says it became a struggle to keep communities of interest together in the Alamo City this redistricting cycle. He says many Hispanics moved north and integrated with the predominantly Anglo population. But Mendez says he can't diminish the minority vote because he still must protect the Voting Rights Act that allows minorities to elect candidates of their choice.
But race cannot be the be-all and end-all of it. It can be used to the narrow extent of remediating voting rights problems of the past. So I can use race to the minimum extent necessary to avoid retrogressing a district.
It's all a numbers game, he said. For example, the population before the new maps revealed a significant imbalance to the council districts. Councilman Reed Williams in District 8 in the north had the highest number of constituents at 159,578. District 5 Councilman David Medina on the west side had the fewest, with 106,608. A revised illustrative plan now indicates the districts are more in line with one another, with not more than 5% deviation between the districts. Of course, Mendez says council members would like to keep their districts as they are. After all, that's where they were elected.
If it were for the council members, they don't want to change the map. The people that elected them, they're fine with the voters that they have in their district today. If it was up to them, well, we wouldn't mess with this.
But he says that's not fair to voters. With fewer people in a district, overrepresentation by a council member is created. With too many people in a district, people are underrepresented. The goal is to average the districts with 132,000 voters.
The cohesiveness of the neighborhoods has not been taken into effect in drawing these maps.
Hundreds of people voiced their opinion in the community forums on redistricting this summer. Not all of them were happy. Mendez says he was able to fix some neighborhoods split apart, but others like the Quintana community on the southwest side he could not rearrange. That would have required tens of thousands of people going from Medina's District 5 to Rey Saldana's District 4. He says District 5 is the most underpopulated. He was able to keep another community on the southwest side together, as well as the Blossom Park neighborhood and Councilwoman Elisa Chan's District 9.
We will do whatever we need to do to have lawful districts that meet the one-person, one-vote requirement that avoid dilution of these communities.
After the meetings and public input, San Antonio City Council members will consider the revised plans. If approved, they will go to the Department of Justice for preclearance and should be returned before the 2013 elections. Mendez has been drawing lines for more than 30 years. He says it's always a give-and-take situation. But he recognizes his work means nothing if people don't go to the polls.
The elections are determined by a handful of voters. A 5% turnout is not unusual here. All of this is of little value to a citizen if they don't exercise their right to vote.
Ryan Lloyd, Texas Public Radio News.
On Election Day, November the 6th, there is a presidential race and lots of room down ballot. One of the major local races is for Bexar County Sheriff. We invited the two candidates into the TPR studios to talk about the issues surrounding the campaign. That's Democrat incumbent Amadeo Ortiz and Republican retired Air Force General Susan Parmelo.
Dave, it's great to be here with you. I'm Susan Parmelo, and I'm running for Bexar County Sheriff. I'm a retired Air Force two-star general, and I was a senior vice president at USAA. And the reason that experience is important is because the role, the real job of the sheriff of Bexar County is to lead and manage the resources for the public safety. There are 1,700 employees. It's a $100 million budget. That's 30 cents of every dollar in tax revenues goes to the sheriff's office. So it's important to have someone who has executive leadership experience in leading large organizations, in managing big budgets, in putting the right people in the right jobs, and getting things done. And I have that experience, real leadership experience, to make sure that we keep Bexar County residents safe as well as protecting their taxpayer dollars. And that's the experience that I bring with me, having led organizations, managed big budgets larger than the sheriff's office. And I'll use the same experience that I used in keeping our nation safe, in keeping our county safe as well.
Sheriff Ortiz, can you give us an introduction remarks?
Yes, I am Sheriff Amadeo Ortiz. I am going on my fourth year of being the sheriff. I want to get reelected because the sheriff's office is a law enforcement agency, and I have been in law enforcement most of my adult life. I have over 40 years of experience, having started with San Antonio Police Department. I rose to the rank of captain there, came to the sheriff's office. I worked at the sheriff's office for 12 years, and then I took 2 years off. I ran for election in 2008. And I was successful. I got elected. I took over in 2009. And I have been doing a good job of running the sheriff's office for the last 3.5 years.
So, General, you said that the jail is being grossly mismanaged. That's a pretty heavy charge. Can you back that up?
Yes. And, in fact, the media from across this county, whether or not it's been the Express News, whether it's been any of the television stations, over the last 18 months, for those stories that are still on the web and online, there are more than 15 to 20 examples of gross mismanagement on the part of the sheriff, from drugs coming into the jail, from sexual abuse of prisoners, of prisoners walking out the door. In fact, the jail is dysfunctional. In fact, it's something that the sheriff hasn't been able to fix. There's the lowest morale ever. Again, there are prisoners walking out the door. There are detention officers walking out the door from retirements, from resignations, and he can't train them fast enough to replace people that need to be there. In fact, when in my role in the Air Force, when we were dealing with very significant retention problems, the question we always ask was, how long does it take to replace a 7-year staff sergeant? A new trainee does not replace an experienced officer, and that's exactly the same for the jail. So those are not things that I have alleged. Those are stories that have been reported in every part of the media across this county over the last couple of years.
Sheriff Ortiz, can you respond?
Yes, it'll probably come as a surprise to the general, but the jail is full of people that are law breakers. We don't have Boy Scouts in the jails. And throughout the nation, anybody that runs a large jail will tell you, you're going to have problems. And it's not the problems that you have, it's how you resolve them and how you attempt to keep them from happening again that's important. The Texas Jail Commission would also disagree with the general, because for the last 3 years, we've been in compliance with every standard that they have. So if you go by the Texas Jail Commission report, we run a fine jail.
Let me ask you, Sheriff Ortiz, there was a regrettable incident recently when two canines died when they were left in their handler's vehicle, and they died from the heat. This wasn't the first time that something like this has happened. I believe there was a previous dog that died under similar conditions. So could this have been avoided? Did we not learn from that first incident? And there was some equipment that could have been installed. What happened? What broke down?
Yes, we did learn from that incident. But the two incidents are completely different. They have different circumstances. Both of them are in the hands of the DA's office. Both cases have gone to her for final disposition. It could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. We did have some equipment that we could have installed, but they didn't get installed. The second incident where the two dogs died could have been avoided had there been the proper equipment installed. However, the equipment we had on hand I don't think would have helped in that incident because the officer was nowhere near the vehicle. He had left the premise, and that type of equipment only gave like a radio signal. You have to be within a mile of the vehicle. We have since ordered the latest technology, and it'll be installed in the vehicles, and that'll prevent it from ever happening again. So we did learn a lesson from that tragic incident.
General Palmerloo, can you respond to that?
Yes, and I think Sheriff Ortiz's comment is reflective of the issues, is that he responds to resolve things when they happen. The importance of leadership is anticipating, planning, making sure that there are policies in place to assure that these kinds of things don't happen. And so when Duke, the first dog that died 2 years ago, when that dog died, that equipment should have been placed in canine vehicles, but it wasn't. And even to comment on the fact that that officer wouldn't have been notified because it was only a radio signal. If that officer lives so far out in the county that communications and things can't happen to make sure those dogs, that equipment are protected, and that we provide the kind of safety and security for those who are doing the job, then procedures and policies need to be in place to assure that dogs, that officers, have the right kind of protection. And that simply wasn't done. And that's what I see across the board, is in so many cases, there's insufficient training. There's, officers that are, don't have the right supervision. They're not given leadership training early in their careers, mid-level managers all the way up to the more senior officers. And those are the issues that preclude these things from happening. Yes, things will happen, but you can minimize that and avoid a lot of that if there's adequate planning done to assure there are proper policies and procedures in place, and that training is done on a continuing basis.
This is The Source on KSTX. We're talking to the two candidates for Bexar County Sheriff, Democrat incumbent Amadeo Ortiz and Republican retired Air Force General Susan Palmerloo. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. For the next few weeks till Election Day, we're going to be talking to the candidates in local races. Today, we're focused on Bexar County Sheriff. In the TPR studios, we have Democrat incumbent Amadeo Ortiz and Republican retired Air Force General Susan Palmerloo. General Palmerloo, according to your resume, you're an experienced administrator working for the Air Force and the Pentagon, but you don't have any law enforcement experience. Shouldn't the sheriff have that in their background?
You know, Texas law says that there are certain circumstances where elected officials will need credentials after they get elected. And Texas law allows that within 2 years of being sworn in, a sheriff must obtain their basic peace officer license. I've owned and used weapons almost all of my adult life. In addition to that, I will have that certification in a very short time after I'm elected as the next sheriff of Bexar County. And the issue here is not having a piece of paper up on the wall. It's a matter of having leadership experience, proven experience, to lead this organization. This is no longer the small town law enforcement operation that many people throughout Bexar County perceive it as. This is the third largest sheriff's office in the state of Texas. This is the 19th largest county in the nation. This is time for a different leader with different experiences and 30, 40 years of tactical operational experience in law enforcement does not equal executive leadership. And that's what I bring and will bring to the office of Bexar County Sheriff.
And Sheriff Ortiz, do you think that your opponent is somehow deficient in not having law enforcement experience?
By all means, this is the most important thing to running a law enforcement agency. I am sure that it took her some time to become a two-star general. She didn't go into the military as a two-star general. It's true she can go to school, but if she had the initiative, anybody can go to law enforcement training and get certified as a peace officer and start working somewhere to get experience. She had not done that. She's going to wait until if she becomes the sheriff, then she'll go to school. And what's going to happen in between while she's going to school? Who's going to run the sheriff's office? I would say that this is the most vital ingredient in our campaign. You have to have law enforcement experience. It's true, it's a big agency, but that's the more reason. In a big agency, you need a law enforcement professional to run that organization. She'll go to school and then she'll have a certificate, but she still doesn't have any experience.
Well, let me ask you, Sheriff Ortiz, what kind of experience? I mean, you're running the department. You're not writing traffic tickets or solving crimes. You're not Columbo. I mean, why do you have to have law enforcement experience to deal with budgets and policies?
Well, budget and policies, you get that through the experience of running a law enforcement agency. Ever since I was in planning for the police department, I started preparing myself. So I've had a lot of experience, not only in running budgets, not only in staffing, but also when the people around me that I have selected to assist me, when they give me advice, I can judge that advice and know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing because of my experience. If you're going to depend on somebody to lead the way, then you're going to be in the way.
Well, General Pomerleau, if you become sheriff and then you have your deputies and they are on duty and they have to make the call about whether to enter a premise or whether to draw their weapon to deal with a hot scene, they're going to say, you've never been in that situation. How can I take your advice if you've never been there?
You know, as a two-star general in the Air Force, I've dealt with numerous situations of crisis management. That's what senior officers do throughout their career. So whether or not it's a police action, whether or not it's military action, I've been in situations where, one, we've prepared for disasters. I've been in crisis management situations. So making those kinds of decisions is something that I have done throughout my career.
We're going to go ahead and see about getting some last comments from each of you. So 2 minutes for each. And Sheriff Ortiz, you go first, please.
I know that I am the best qualified candidate. I lean on my experience. I lean on what I've done the first 3 years in trying times, because the sheriff's office has gone through some trying times. And I've been in the sheriff's office before I was a sheriff for 12 years. And I've learned every facet of what goes on in the sheriff's office. Now, it's been tough because of the lack of funds, but we look better to better days when there's more funds available so that we can expand our programs. I am going to work hard to finish the projects that we have ongoing. We've done tremendous strides in technology. We have a brand new dispatch system that gets the officers to where they need to be and get there faster. We have the latest equipment in the police cars that'll tell the dispatchers exactly where all the cars are. Those are all advancements that we've made since I've come into office, and we want to continue doing that so that we'll be known as the best professional law enforcement agency in the state.
General Pomerleau, can you give us your closing remarks?
And again, Dave, thanks so much for hosting us and allowing us this opportunity to talk about our backgrounds and what we envision for the future. And when I heard Sheriff Ortiz talking about what his plans are for the future, a strategy of hope is no strategy at all. And what I bring with me is proven success as a leader. I have experience in as a strategic planner, as an operational executive, and that's real experience that will protect our community. And I have a strategy, a strategic plan, not just to maintain status quo, but a vision to assure that Bexar County is well served in the area of public safety now and into the future. That means hiring the best people, setting and upholding professional standards, holding people accountable, a comprehensive process review to improve operational efficiencies, develop measures of success in every major operational and financial area. That's jail standards, inmate tracking, homicide and major crime closure rates, staff attrition, cost factors, to name a few. And I'll undertake a baseline audit of resources and equipment inventories, determine resource allocation based on the highest priority needs, as well as incorporating long-term planning into developing crisis planning and incorporating growth projections for future planning for manpower and equipment. And that's all in the context of having great relationships with county commissioners, with county and district clerks, with the judges, with other law enforcement agencies, because the sheriff's office in Bexar County is no longer a small town law enforcement operation. It's time for a different leader for a different time, because San Antonio and Bexar County need to have the best possible law enforcement and leadership at the helm.
Retired Air Force General Susan Pramolo, a Republican, is challenging incumbent Bexar County Sheriff Amadeo Ortiz, a Democrat, for the sheriff's office in Bexar County. The election day is November the 6th. Keep listening to The Source in coming weeks for more conversations with local candidates. Thanks for listening to this edition of The Source. Wayne Coble is the TPR Program Director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.